Go ahead and take your Bibles now. Go to the book of 1 John, just before the book of Revelations. 1 John chapter number 1. This morning we'll read verses 5 through 7 responsively. I'll read verse number 5. We'll read verses 6 and 7 together this morning. 1 John chapter number 1. Go to the book of Revelation just a few pages back. You'll run right into it. 1 John chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is the light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Let's read verse number 7 together. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have no fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us all from sin. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning. Lord, we thank you for bringing our pastor back to us. Lord, we thank you for your hand on his life. Lord, we ask this morning, Lord, as we meet here, Lord, there may be some here that have heavy hearts. Lord, there's a lot going on in their life. Lord, if you will allow us to set those to the side, Lord, and focus on the truth that's been prepared for us this morning. Holy Spirit, we need you this morning. Lord, may your word be fresh and anew in our lives as it's preached to us. Lord, we ask that your hand would be on our pastor, Lord, as you lift up the word through him. Please speak to us as we yield to it, Lord. Allow us to apply it to our lives. That way we may be more useful for you. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Keep your Bibles open here in the book of 1 John. And let me just say, I just got word from Mrs. Diener. She's gotten some rougher news about her husband. It doesn't look like there's much they can do right now. So you pray for her, especially in these tough days for her. Our world is in a dark, gloomy place. Yes, sir, Brother Barnes. Matter of fact, if you might turn this one down just a hair, this one's hot right now. Really hot. My voice is a little weak, but not that weak. Keep coming down just a little bit, Brother Barnes. A little bit more. All right, that'll work right there. Our world is dark and gloomy. The news reports. If you ever want to be depressed, just turn the news on. I quit watching TV news about a year ago, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me. The news reports are filled with violence, murder, sickness, of course, pandemic, corruption, doomsday, fear-mongering, and politics, which is enough to make anybody sick. It seems as though the whole world is dark and evil. People living in fear of one another. Wear a mask. Protect yourself. Protect everybody else. You know, be in fear of everybody. Everybody's got something they're going to give you, you know. You walk into a store, and if somebody coughs, everybody's going, you know, and everybody's just afraid of everything. And fear of, are we going to be allowed to have Christmas? Did you know that nobody can stop you? Amen. We live with governors making executive orders as a rule of law, and they have no right to do either. None of the executive orders carry the weight of law. They are suggestions. They are not law. Now, God tells us that our world walks in darkness. We read in verse 1 John chapter 5, look at verse, that God is light and him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. Wow. The world walks in darkness. Just think of the last year. How much darkness has been brought onto our country? Now listen to this statement. God tells us our world walks in darkness for this reason. Because we don't do the truth. Look at verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In other words, people live in darkness because they're not doing the truth of the Word of God. That means if we walk in truth and we do the truth, We will walk in light and not darkness. Is that not what the scripture says? Now, this is very important. You see, Christians walking in fear, walking in doom, walking in despair, walking in darkness, are doing exactly what the world does because they're not doing the truth. Amen. If you are living in fear and darkness, it's out of a lack of obedience to truth, not because of circumstances going on. Amen. You can go home and pull all the shades, put darkening curtains up, and be in darkness in the middle of the day. There's light available. It's whether you do get the light. It's up to you. Now, we Christians are not to be wandering around in darkness. God says he is light. That means if we are in darkness, we're not fellowshipping with him. We're fellowshipping with something that's not truthful. Now, listen to this very carefully. We should be the shining light brightly in all of this darkness. Thank you for getting that for me. we've all had that problem. We should be shining lights in the darkness. We shouldn't be hidden under a bushel to where nobody sees our light. We know the song, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel." No. Why? Because we're supposed to let our light shine. But may I say this, instead, many Christians have accepted the darkness and are no better than the heathen world right now. I wonder how many churches sit in darkness today because they're not doing the truth. Grace Baptist Church, we need to not live in darkness. We need to step above the darkness, step into the light, and live in the light. God wants us to live in the light. God went all the way back in the book of Exodus chapter 14 verses 19 through 20. They were getting ready to cross the Red Sea. God had a pillar of cloud on one side and a pillar of fire on the other that he used for 40 years to help the Jews. But before they crossed the Red Sea, God caused that pillar of cloud to stand on end between the Egyptian army and the Israelis, and he put that cloud between them to where it was darkness on one side, but on the children of God's side, it was light. That is much like it is in our world today. We live in a world that is filled with darkness, but God's given us light, even though they wander in darkness. Grace Baptist Church, God wants you to walk in the light, not in the darkness. He doesn't want us to be depressed like the world. He doesn't want us to live in fear like the world. He doesn't want us to live in doom and despair and agony on me. He doesn't want any of that. Some of you young people have no idea what that meant, but I'm watching people laugh that does, all right? God tells us that he wants us to walk in the light. That means we must walk in truth. So, let me give you three things here. Number one, God says what darkness is. God defines darkness in the scripture. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the fourth book of the New Testament. John chapter 3. Look at verse number 19. John chapter 3, verse number 19. And if I get in the right chapter, it sure would help me a little bit. Look at verse number 19. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Ooh, that means darkness and evil go together, correct? I didn't say it, God did. Look at verse number 20. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to light." Notice how God equates truth with light, evil with darkness. But he that doeth the truth cometh to light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Notice the word deeds. That means you're doing something, right? God says that if we walk in darkness, it's because we don't do the truth. God says darkness is evil, but truth and the doing of truth is light. That is very important. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Back just a few more pages there. Matthew chapter 6, a very familiar passage to many. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse number 23. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 23. The Bible says this: "But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" In other words, if we're only seeing evil, we don't have any light in us. It's all darkness. By the way, that's why we have to be careful. I looked up the word darkness. The word darkness means dimness, obscurity. This is the one I wanted you to get. Error, error, or that which casts doubt. Can I tell you something? The news media of our day is darkness. They report error and they report casting of doubt. May I say this? Let's not live in darkness. God says, I want you to walk in light and not in darkness. Now, the news reports of the day are mainly darkness. Folks, I've said this for 8 years as pastor of this church. Whatever the news media says, believe the opposite and you're about close to the truth. Amen. Not because I believe every news media personality is a liar, but the news media in general is propaganda trying to create fear, and they are trying to set a standard that is not real. They are not reporting news, they are trying to make news. So the reports of today on the news are darkness, they're evil. It used to be, there was a day when the news was positive. If you can find one positive report on the news, you're doing good. It's this person being shot, this number of people being shot, this number of people protesting, these number of people did evil, these number of people in jail, this person did this crime, this, it's just negative after negative after negative. Isn't it amazing? They convict somebody before there's ever a trial. And they never go back and retract that maybe somebody wasn't guilty of what they accused them of. In other words, they cast doubt on somebody. Just because somebody's accused does not mean they're guilty. But our news media says if you have been accused of being guilty, you're guilty, we're casting doubt on you, and you don't have a chance of getting out of it. That is darkness, by the way. By the way, that's why here at Grace Baptist Church, if somebody does wrong, we're not going to trot them up here and tell them all the bad that they did in front of you. Number one, you couldn't do anything about it anyway. Number two, that's just flat out gossip and you trying to play God. God says the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Not everybody knowing all the wrong you did. Say, well, there are certain things. Show me in the Bible what they are. All sin is sin. All sin is sin. May I say this? People of religion live in darkness. Now, listen, I use the word religion differently than most people do. Religion is man telling God how God has to accept man. That is man-made religion. Mainline religion. Well, you have to live a good life to go to heaven. That's not scripture. That's not obeying the truth. That's religion. I don't care what the name on the church is. Doesn't matter if it's a false god. Doesn't matter if it's some pseudo-Christian type situation. Matters not to me. Religion is man saying, God, you have to accept what I do to get me to heaven. God said Christianity is, I sent my son to pay the price for you. You accept him and that alone to take you to heaven. Not some church, not some religion. You trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Yes. That's what going to heaven's all about. See, it's either you do it or God did it and you accept it. Religion is you do it. Christianity is God did it. You accept it by faith. So people of religion walk in darkness. Have you noticed how the religious world of today is very dark? very morbid. Very, it just, everything is dark. You know, oh, we must live in fear. Folks, we don't have, God's not given a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Listen to this. When we focus on negative or opposition or disagreement, we're walking in darkness. When we focus on negative, when we focus on opposition to everything, when we focus on disagreeing, we are walking in darkness. Is that not what God said? Thank God I have the wife that God gave me over 31 and a half years ago. We have disagreed countless times, but I promise you this, in over 31 and a half years, we've never argued. Have we disagreed? Of course. She's right, I'm wrong. I've learned that over the years, amen? But may I say this, did you know you can disagree and not be ugly about it? Amen. Now, I'm ugly all the time. But I'm not talking about my facial features. I'm talking about you don't have to have an ugly attitude. You see, we think if somebody disagrees with us that we got to have a big argument. Can I tell you why? Because you're trying to play God. You have to prove you're right. How about we just learn to disagree with one another and let right take care of itself? Yeah. See, the trouble is in a marriage, people start focusing on negative. They focus on disagreement. How about all the good things instead of the bad things? Amen. In rearing our kids. Now, mine are all reared, praise the Lord. And I can't believe I had two after the oldest. But I will say this. Thank God, as my children are growing up, yes, they needed correction. And the younger they were, the more correction that was needed. But there came a day where you have to start focusing on the good, not just the correction. And the more you focus on the good and less on the correction, you know, I tell people this, before a child gets saved, you're ready to pop their little head off and spit down the hole. They're like a little demon, you know, the terrible twos and threes. Can I tell you why? They're acting like a lost person because they are. They're not saved. So they're acting according to the flesh. But once they get saved, something happens. Now, that doesn't mean they're perfect little angels. I know yours are, but mine weren't, all right? And I've been a Christian school principal for over 25 years of my ministry, or 20 years of my ministry. I promise you, yours aren't either, okay? Believe me, nobody's children are perfect. Look who their parents are. Amen, young people. All right. Got more honking in the parking lot. But can I tell you something? As a parent, if you'll start focusing on the good instead of the negative or the opposition, maybe you'd have more peace at home. Did you know that's true with friendships and people here at church? Now, thank God at Grace Baptist Church, we are not going to have any cliques. We haven't and we won't. It's not going to be this little crowd and you got to be a part of our little crowd. Can I tell you something? If you're part of a little crowd, we're going to bust it up and you're going to be part of the big crowd. That's the way it's supposed to be. Well, I just don't know that I like that person. Well, get right with God and you will. They're not the problem. You are. Get your stinking eyes off of somebody else and look in the mirror, the person you shave or the person whose hair you comb, and realize you're the problem, not somebody else. Amen. Say, what's the problem? You're focusing on what you disagree about. How about you focus on that which you do agree about? Hey, I don't agree with all of my family members about everything they do in life, but we still get along with one another. Can I tell you why? Because we don't focus on that which we disagree about. We'll focus on that which we agree about. I have friends with whom I would disagree with in some areas, but we never talk about those areas, and we can be friendly as long as they're not wrong doctrinally. Why should I care? Amen. I love Brother Drellyard. By the way, he told me to tell you hello this morning. I love your preacher. He's a dear, dear friend of mine. I can promise you, if you worked hard enough, you'd find a difference between your preacher and me. But if there was, we would never talk about it. And I wouldn't let you talk about it. Say, why? Because he's my friend. He's right in all the right areas. So I disagree with the color of the auditorium that you have is a little different than the color we have. You think I'm going to get upset with somebody because they painted something a different color? I'm colorblind. Who cares? But I help pick all the colors out. Thank God for Brother Bob who painted. Well, his brother painted it all. He just watched him. I'm not kidding. I'm kidding. Can I tell you something? Thank God we don't have to focus on the error. Can I tell you something? Hell is darkness. Bible says in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 12, Matthew chapter 22, verse number 13, and Revelation chapter 25, verse number 30, that hell is a place of eternal darkness. Can I tell you why hell is eternal darkness? Because there is no truth at all in hell. God is not in hell. And hell is the total opposite of God. That means there is no love there. That means there is no joy there. That means none of the things that God is are there, and it is the total absence of the presence of God. And God says those that die in their sins, or those that die in their religion, trying to earn their own way, listen to this, they will die and go to an eternal hell that is total darkness forever. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine for eternity burning in darkness forever and falling? How tragic that must be. I don't want anybody to face that. God also says in 1 John chapter 2, you're there in 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 2, verse number 9, he that saith he is in light hath and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. That word, hateth his brother, that term, means bitterness. Forgiveness, Brother Josh, could you stand up for a moment, please? Let's say Brother Josh did something against me, and he sinned against me. Maybe he told a lie about me in front of a bunch of folks. You dirty, wicked, rotten, filthy sinner, you. And guess what? The word forgiveness doesn't mean it can change what happened. Forgiveness is not for him. Forgiveness is me saying, I forgive you because I don't want to have a bad spirit between you and I, or between me and God, because you did something wrong to me. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Who forgives? God does. Did he sin? No, he didn't. The forgiveness is for God, not for us. If I forgive you, you may accept it or you may continue to lie about me. But as long as I'm right, that's all that matters. That's what forgiveness is. We are supposed to forgive those who have trespassed against us. Those who have gone against us. Thank you, Brother Josh. May I say something? Who is that person that you have in mind right now that you've never forgiven for something they've done to you? By the way, did you know you can live in darkness because you don't forgive yourself? Well, preacher, you don't know my past. If it's under the blood, it's not there. If it's under the blood, you don't have to worry about it. I always tell people to say this. When the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Why should you live in mourning and grief over what happened yesterday, last week, last year, last decade, decades ago? Why should we live in bitterness over not accepting, over forgiving ourselves or someone else? There are people in this room, you are angry with somebody because they did something to you and you've never forgiven them. This altar's here, you could take care of it today and you could walk in light and not darkness. I can promise you one thing. I am not a perfect person. Don't honk, please. But I'll promise you, you can look inside that heart if you could, and you'd find I don't have anybody that I harbor anything against. Not one person in the face of this earth. I promise you. Oh, I've had people do some pretty bad things. I've had people try to burn my house down. I've had people write all kinds of nasty words on my vehicles. Thank God they're not real smart and they only know four-letter words. I've had people do all kinds of things. I've had people lie about me. I could go on and on and on and on. Can I tell you something? There's not a one of them that couldn't walk through that door that I would not shake their hand and welcome them to our church. Not a one. You don't know it, but in the last year, a man that was one of my bitter enemies came to this church. And you and I and all of us accepted him. You say, why, preacher? Because forgiveness. I'm not going to harbor something against them. Just because they did something wrong once doesn't mean they're wrong forever. Just because they did something bad to me doesn't mean they're bad to everybody. Who made you God? Why is it worse because it's against you? Everybody doing okay? So, not forgiving someone else who wronged you will cause you to be in darkness. That's what God says. So, God tells us what darkness is. God also tells us what light is. I've got to hurry. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5 says this. Then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. Can I tell you something? God is light. That means anything that has to do with God, not religion, but God is light. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9 says that the will of God gives us light for our path. Can I tell you something? When you obey God and you obey his word, God will give you light. Matter of fact, Psalm 119 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Guess what? The word of God, the King James Bible, is light. Say, why? Because God says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And verse number 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God is Jesus Christ, and it is God. It is God's word to man. Matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, it says that Jesus will ride a horse coming back, and it will be written his name on his vesture, the Word of God. By the way, that's why you shouldn't mess with the Word of God. When you mess with the Word of God, you're messing with God and messing with Jesus, and that's a heap of mess. Man shouldn't be rewriting the Word of God. They ought to be rereading the Word of God. We ought not be changing God's words and counterfeiting it. We ought not be messing with God's words. Well, we're trying to make it easier to understand. I think a God that created man is smart enough to give us words we could understand. So, God says that he is light. He says his will is light. He says his word is light. 1 John chapter 1 verses 4 through 9 says that truth is light. We won't take time to read it. John chapter 8 verse number 12, John chapter 9 verse number 5 says that getting saved, trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, is light. You've never experienced life and light till you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, there's something about going out, knocking on a door, or seeing somebody on the street, and give them a gospel tract, give them the gospel, watch them bow their head, and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Mrs. Lopez was out yesterday and talking to some folks on the bus route. And she got to lead two adult men to Christ yesterday. Amen. She called me all excited. I was excited for her. I heard the story again this morning twice. She told me, and then she told the others that showed up later. You say, why? Because it's exciting to watch people going from darkness to light. It is exciting to watch people accept the truth of the gospel. And it's a light that opens people's eyes to that which they could not see before. People want to understand before they obey. God says, obey, and I'll give you understanding. You have to walk into the light before you understand what's over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4 says that the gospel is light. Did you know the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the virgin-born Christ? Hey, that is light. I've said this all along. I'll keep saying it. The problem today is not in the White House, no matter who's going to be there next. The problem is in the church house, because churches quit preaching truth. Churches quit giving the gospel. People quit getting saved and they started getting educated. Are you doing okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 and 8. God said that being saved is light. Folks, I mean this with all my heart. I have a heavy heart today. My mama's on a ventilator on life support right now. Can I tell you something? I'm not living in darkness. I'm living in light. Amen. Say why? Because I've been saved. My daddy's sitting in the parking lot. I want my mama to make it. I've got people all over the country praying that she'll make it. But guess what? If my mama doesn't make it right now, heaven's not a bad place. And eventually, we're all going to go there. Now, I'm praying for rapture first. I don't know about you. I just don't want to hurt if I go. I'd rather go by the Undertaker than the Undertaker. But may I say this? Even if something happens that my mom does not make it, I'm not going to grope in darkness, though my heart will hurt, though I'll grieve. Yes, I will be sad. Yes, I will shed tears. But may I say this? I'm not going to grope in darkness. I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I got word on Friday that my uncle passed away. Can I tell you something? He's in heaven. His daughter was killed in a plane crash with Brother Roloff 40 years ago. First thing I thought of was he and Cheryl are back together again. And I'm sure he and Cheryl and Brother Roloff, all three, were having a good old party up there. Now, my heart's sad. But guess what? I don't have to live in darkness. I can live in light. And so can you. So, being saved is light. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 23 says that Jesus will be the light of heaven. Yes, says that he will light heaven. There'll be no need for the sun or the moon or the stars, because the light that shines from him will illuminate heaven. Can I tell you something? We are going to see him someday.
Amen.
The Bible, salvation, the gospel, God, Jesus and heaven are all topics that give us light. Sure is a whole lot better than the news.
Yes, sir.
Sure is a whole lot better than country music, talking about getting drunk and sleeping with somebody else's wife and your dog dying and kicking the cat and everything else. That's darkness. How about we live in the light and talk about the light? So these are the topics that we're to think about. These are the topics we're to talk about and think about, and these are the topics to dwell on, not the darkness. Let's quit living in darkness and live in light. Number three, and I'm done, and you'll be glad. No honking, please. God tells us we are to generate light by doing truth. Now, I'm going to date myself a little bit here, age myself. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 6. Let's look at it, and then I'll tell you. If we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. Notice the word there, do. Darkness is by not doing truth. Light is by doing truth. That means this. The more truth we do, the more light we generate. Is that not what it says? Now watch this. How many of you old timers remember when you were a kid and had one of those lights on your bicycle that sat right in the middle of the handlebars? And you could had a little black switch on top and you could turn it off or turn it on. But it wasn't battery powered. Y'all remember those? It only lit when you started pedaling your bike. And the faster you pedaled, the brighter it got. How many of you remember those? All right? In other words, some of you were deprived as children. You didn't play Evel Knievel at night on your bicycle. All right? But I did. Now, listen to me. Those worked by, if you could barely pedal, you could just barely see the light come on. But the faster you pedaled, the brighter the light. So if it got dark out, you were pedaling like a crazy man just to see. Y'all remember what I'm talking about? Because it took a lot of effort, especially if you had a smaller bike and a smaller wheel size. You're killing yourself just to be able to see. Can I tell you something? That is exactly what 1 John chapter 1, verse number 6 says. As you do the truth, the light will shine. As you pedal the truth, and the faster and the more you pedal, the brighter the light that shines. God says that we live in darkness because we don't pedal the truth. I'm going to make some statements here that are hard. Hearing and knowing truth does not give you light. Doing truth does.
Yes, sir.
I don't care how much truth you know, how much are you doing? God does not care how much truth you know. He cares how much are you doing. Understanding truth does not give you light. Obeying truth gives you light. Doing the truth gives you light. The average church in our country today is nothing more than a lecture to put on paper for somebody so that they can get some knowledge and they walk out the door and never use it. What good is it? My preacher taught me in college that a sermon is a greasy wrench. It's supposed to be something that you can take with you and live it today and tomorrow. And the next day, it may not be fancy, it may not be oratorically beautiful, but if it's a truth you can use, it's better than oratory. I don't care how suave and debonair that somebody may be on the radio or television. I don't care if they're Osteen. I don't care if they're Chucky Swindoll. I don't care how intelligent they sound. Their truth is worthless if you don't obey it. And most of them aren't using truth because they don't use God's word. You see, James chapter 1, verse number 20 says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." A few years ago, we had a little pocket of people that decided they wanted to start a little clique. And I didn't allow them to. So we had a little exodus of people. Every one of them said, "Well, we're just not being fed." Well, I thought the only people in the world that needed fed are babies. Aren't you supposed to learn how to feed yourself? Now, I'm for coming to church to be fed. And I will feed you, I promise you. Just because you don't like the menu doesn't mean that you didn't get fed. My son's leaving for boot camp today or tomorrow for the Air Force. He's got a rude awakening because he's not going to get all the food that he wants or the kinds of food that he wants. He's going to eat what they put on his plate, and he's going to pack it down the pie hole whether he wants it or not. You say, why? He might not like the menu, but it doesn't matter what the menu is. Shove it down the hatch. Did you know sometimes the man of God knows more than you know? Not because I'm smarter than anybody, but I've walked with God. I've spent time with God to give you what you need from God. And most of the time I'm preaching to me, not you. I'm preaching for what I need. I have to listen to myself preach. I have to prepare for it. I don't get these off the radio or off the internet or out of a book somewhere. I get them from God. You think it's bad listening to it, you ought to be the one having to prepare for it. So hearing and knowing truth does not generate light. Obeying and peddling the truth and doing the truth is what gives you light. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 3. Just turn over there. It's maybe even the same page. "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not, or doeth not, his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him." Guess what? God says we know him by the truth we obey. Not by the truth we know. Did you know, according to 1 John chapter 5, just turn over a couple pages there, 1 John chapter 5, look at verse number 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Didn't we say that truth is light? That means the Holy Spirit is light. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these things, these three agree in one. That means this, the Holy Spirit will never tell you to do something contrary to that book right there. Somebody tells you the Holy Spirit wants them to do something, ask them to show, I always say, show me book, chapter, and verse. Well, I believe the Spirit's leading me to sell my house because the rapture is going to happen. I'm going to spend all my money so that the devil doesn't get anything of mine when I leave here. You're not going to find that in the Bible, and that wasn't the Holy Spirit. Everybody doing okay? I had a lady one day come to me and told me, and this is years and years and years and years ago. She came to me and said, Brother Bush, she said, I was called to be a missionary when I was a teenager. I didn't obey. I got a wife and, or I got a husband and several children. I forget how many children. She said, I need to obey God. I'm going to divorce my husband and let him have the kids and I'm going to go to the mission field. I said, no, you're not. You're an idiot. She said, well, I need to obey God. I said, the moment you said I do at the altar, you now have to listen to what the will of God is through your husband. You negated the first thing because you had already disobeyed. She said, well, I really believe the Holy Spirit wants me to do this. I said, no, he doesn't, because it's contrary to the word of God. God never one time told you to quit on your husband. By the way, put their marriage back together and they're doing well. Amen. But for a while there, you say, you didn't call her an idiot. Yes, I did. Thank you for that, honk. The Holy Spirit and the Bible are truth, and they have to agree to give light. Don't tell me the Holy Spirit led you to do this if it's not in the Bible. Everybody doing okay? Now listen to this and I'll be done. Churches and Christians sit in darkness. And they know what the truth is. They know what the truth is. Bible says they have a knowledge of God, but they don't do anything with it. The light only generates as we obey or do the truth. Just like that light on that bicycle when I was a kid, I had to pedal it for it to come on. And the more I pedaled, the brighter the light was. Can I tell you something? The more of that you obey, the more sense it makes. And the more you obey it, the more you'll understand it. Well, I don't read the Bible, preacher, because I just don't understand it. Okay, how about you read something and obey what it says, and then go back and try reading it again. And as you read it and obey it and read it and obey it and read it and obey it, God will give you more truth as you obey. The Bible says that knowledge puffeth up in the book of 1 Corinthians. Do you know what that term means? That word puffeth up. How many of you have ever seen a dead deer on the side of the road in August around here? And it looks like its belly is one of those old punch balloons, you know, and all four legs are going like this, and you're thinking, oh Lord, don't let that thing pop when I drive by. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, it's puffed up. It's full of death and defilement. God says knowledge can puff up. You look at the intelligentsia of our nation today and how corrupt they are and how ignorant, how stupid they really are. We have a lot of educated idiots out there. A lot of people who call themselves smart and don't have enough sense to come in out of the darkness. Amen. And they call us ignorant because we believe the Bible. That we believe truth. Okay. Just because you have a couple pieces of paper you hang on the wall that have a degree on it doesn't mean you're smart. The average church in our nation today is nothing more than a college lecture hall. Educating people with truth and letting them walk out feeling like they've done God a favor by being at church and they now have a truth in their head, but they don't challenge them to go out and do something with it. Christianity is more than knowledge, it's action. God says that being in the light is something you generate by doing the truth, not fellowshipping in darkness. Not being around darkness, coming out of it, knowing what truth is, and obeying the truth, and doing the truth. Grace Baptist Church, let's not live in darkness. Written on our sign, written on every gospel tract we have, there's a statement. It says we're a hospital, not a museum. A museum is a place of old, dead things that aren't worth anything anymore. They don't do anything with them. People just come by and look at it. We're supposed to be a hospital. We're supposed to be a place where people come and get help because we do something about it. Let me ask you a question. Are you living in darkness or are you living in light? Living in fear or are you living in light? I can tell you how to get out of the darkness and the fear and the doom and the despair. Do the truth. Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die? Oh, I would not want to face eternal darkness. I would never want to face eternal darkness for anybody. You would need to trust Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about joining this church. I'm not talking about some religious ritual. I'm talking about realizing you're a sinner because we're all sinners. Realizing because we're all sinners, there's a penalty on sin, which is death and hell. Say, well, how could a loving God send anybody to hell? He didn't. According to the book of Matthew, hell was created for the devil and his angels. By the way, when man sinned, he listened to the devil who had already sinned, and hell was already prepared for the devil. We committed the very same sin Satan committed. And God's justice requires the same punishment. But did you ever notice? Jesus Christ came and died for man. He didn't die for the devil and his angels. God loved you so much that you don't have to die and go to hell. You could live in light and you could see the light of Jesus in heaven someday if you just trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder who would say, preacher, I'll be honest with you, I'll be honest with God. I know for sure I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know for sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. You know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not come to you. I'll not call you out. But preacher, I don't know for sure, but I'd like to know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. God bless you. Somebody else? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed today? Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, 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 many hands. Yes. In a moment, the piano will begin to play. When it begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you raised your hand and said, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die, we'll take the Bible and show you how you could know for sure. If you didn't raise your hand, you should have. You just come, we'll take the Bible, and we'll show you how you can know for sure. If you raised your hand and said, preacher, something in that sermon's I needed, how about you come kneel at an old-fashioned altar and talk to God about it for just a moment? Nobody will laugh at you. This place where people come get help. Nobody would ever laugh. It's serious business. But please don't walk outside those doors unsure of an eternity, please.